Good morning and welcome to Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. My name is Pastor Jason Van Bemmel, pastor of Forest Hill Presbyterian Church in Harford County. It is good to be with you on this 860th day. What day am I? 860th day together in the Word of God as we come to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Continuing in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day and for your love for us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the book of Ecclesiastes that we find to be a comfort and a challenge to us. And we pray that you would continue to challenge and comfort us today through your word and help us to walk with Jesus by faith. In his name we pray. Amen. Ecclesiastes 9, but all this I laid to heart, examining it all, how the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hand of God. Whether it is love or hate, man does not know, both are before him. It is the same for all, since the same event happens to the righteous and the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As the good one is, so is the sinner, and he who swears is as he who shuns an oath. This is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Also the hearts of the children of man are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. But he who is joined with all the living has hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Their love and their hate and their envy have already perished, and forever they have no more share in all that is done under the sun. Go, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments be always white. Let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Again, I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. For man does not know his time. Like fish that are taken in an evil net, and like birds that are caught in a snare, so the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them. I have also seen this example of wisdom under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it and besieged it, building great siege works against it. But there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no one remembered that poor man. But I say that wisdom is better than might, though that poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. The words of the wise, heard in quiet, are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good. There's so much good wisdom and good perspective here, including a very honest assessment of the reality of death. You see, sometimes Christians say things like, oh, we need to rejoice because death is, you know, just the entryway into life. And of course it is. But death still comes, and it still comes to take away the ones we love and to separate us from them. And our hearts break over that. And while we don't grieve like those who have no hope, we do grieve. Because death is an enemy. The scriptures call it the last enemy in 1 Corinthians 15. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. And so an enemy, an invader, this is the reality of death. It comes to all. It's a popular saying in the world that death is just a natural part of life. That's one of my least favorite sayings in the world. Death is a natural part of life? Those are opposite things. Life, to live forever, to live for eternity. That's what we were created for. And that's why we hate death. And that's why death feels like an enemy and an invader and a thief, because it is. and it will be defeated. It has been defeated by Jesus. The sting of it has been taken away for the believer, and the existence of death will be destroyed forever when Jesus comes again. But for now, it is the same event for all. The same event happens to the righteous and to the wicked. Righteous, wicked, wise, foolish, whatever, everyone dies. And Ecclesiastes says this is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. You see, when we look at the world and we say, it's not right that that person should die. They were a good person. It's not right that that person should die. They were just a child. Why does this person who's so evil get to live a long life and a happy life and then die? When we're outraged by those things, Scripture comes along, sometimes in the Psalms, and here in Ecclesiastes, and says, you're right. That's not right. It is an evil. That's not the way it should be. And that perspective, we only experience that or feel that because we're made in the image of God and because we're made for eternity. You see, that perspective, that's not right, that's not the way it should be, that demands a good God and an eternity. Because if there was no God, and this world was all there was, then death should be expected. It would be a natural part of life, or the natural end of life, and it wouldn't feel like an invader and an unjust thing. If evolution is true, if naturalism is true, if materialism is true, if atheism is true, then death is actually good for the species, because it's how we winnow out the weak, right? Survival of the fittest. But that's not right. We know that's not right. It's evil. And the Bible says amen to our cry of our heart that says it's evil. The Bible also tells us realistically about the human condition. The hearts of the children of man are full of evil and madness. And after that, they go to the dead. We are evil people. We disregard God. We disregard our conscience. We disregard what we know is right and good. We participate in that which we call wrong and bad, but we do it ourselves when we think it benefits us, or when we think it protects us from some sort of harm. If it advances our own agenda, we go ahead and do it. It's terrible. So this shows us two problems. Right here in Ecclesiastes 9 shows us the big two problems that we need to have solved. Death, which comes to all, and evil and madness, which lies in the heart of all. Those things need to be fixed, right? It wouldn't do good for us to live forever and still be evil and full of madness. No, we need the evil and the madness within us removed, and we need to live forever for this wrongness to be righted. And that's what Jesus came to accomplish. Jesus came to accomplish what our hearts cry out to need. It's better to be joined with all the living and to have hope. And in Jesus, who is the resurrection and the life, he tells us, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me will never die, will never really die. You see, this picture of death, of the dead who know nothing, and they have no more reward, and the memory of them is forgotten, that's the pre-Christ's resurrection picture of death. That's before Jesus came and conquered death. Now, we will have a share in the new heavens and the new earth. We will never be forgotten by the one who matters most. We will be part of the company of the redeemed, of the family of God, of the children of God forever. And that we can rejoice in. And especially if we know that we have that hope, this life can be enjoyed to the fullest. Go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. If you trust in him, if you're justified, let your garments be always white, let not oil be lacking on your head. These are pictures of joy. White garments you wear for celebration. Oil on the head is anointing for rejoicing. And so we who belong to God, we who have this hope, we who can see that death and evil are the enemy, and that they need to be solved by God. We who've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for the removal of those things, we can have real joy and enjoyment. We are washed clean of our filth, we're clothed in the garments of Christ, we're anointed by the Holy Spirit, we can enjoy the life we've been given. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love. Enjoy the portion that God's given you. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Verse 10 says, we should do so with all our might and also for the glory of God. That's what we should be doing in this life. Because we know even more than Solomon knew in Ecclesiastes. We know the solution to the problem. Again, I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor is the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all, for man does not know his time. You know, that's not exactly what we would expect it to say. We expect it to say, oh, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, but for those who trust in the Lord, or for those who are wise in heart, or for those who are hardworking. No, because we know that's not true, and that would be a platitude that would do injustice to the realities of life under the sun, life in this fallen world, life in this creation. In this world, what do we see? Well, time and chance happen to everyone. Man does not know his time. Like a fish taken in a net, like birds caught in a snare, suddenly, something happens. You didn't see it coming. You didn't know it was coming. Cancer, a car accident, a war. You weren't responsible for it. You couldn't have avoided it. Your good looks and your intelligence aren't going to save you from it. It happens. It happens. And without God, that would be absolutely maddening. There would be no hope whatsoever. There's still no predictability. Which means we have to cast ourselves upon the wisdom and the mercy of God. Because we can't predict the future in this life. This is going to be part of our sermon on Sunday at Forest Hill, this coming Sunday, if you're watching this when it first comes out. We're going to be talking about Isaiah 41 and how people look to idols, but idols can't predict the future because idols don't control the future because we're not in control of the future, only God is. And we have to trust him. And then there's this strange story. You know, Ecclesiastes has a few of these stories. Earlier we had read about a poor boy who becomes a king because of his wisdom. Well, here we have a man who was poor, and because he was wise, his wisdom delivered a city from a great siege by a great king. And yet no one remembers him. That's not how we expect the story to end, is it? We expect the story to say, and everybody celebrated this poor wise man, and they made him king of the town, and they gave him riches and honor forever. No, nobody remembered him. His wisdom was despised. His words were not heard anymore. They used his advice to get out of the trap, but then they swept him to the side. But you know what? It's still better to be wise than to be a fool. How is that? Only if God rules over everything. And if God sees and takes note of and takes account of everything, it's really the only way that makes any sense. So again, we come back to we need to trust God. The talking heads on the cable news networks, they don't care about wise men like this poor man. They care about who can be loudest, angriest, most outraged. We need to leave all that aside. We need to say, you know what? That's not what God calls me to. I'm going to do what God calls me to. What does God call me to? Trust him for the removal of my sinful heart and the sting of death. Give thanks to him for the good gifts that he gives me, the portion that I can enjoy in this life, my food, my drink, my wife, my family, my home, my work, my calling. And then in the end, seek to be wise with the wisdom of God. And to live according to the ways of God, by faith. Don't try to predict what's coming in the future. Don't try to control it. Don't be anxious. Trust God and walk in his ways. Let's pray. Father, your ways are right. Your ways are good. Because you are right and you are good. and we thank you. Be with us, O Lord. May we walk by faith. May we walk with your Son. May we walk for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks for joining me for Ecclesiastes 9. Tomorrow we'll move on to chapter 10. I hope you can join me for that. And of course, as always, I do hope that you have a blessed day in the Lord.